just shot President Trump. Really, it was caught on video. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and your terrorist therapist. I'm here to help you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. Well, I'm not kidding. Of course, by now you probably know about this video. It's a rap music video that Snoop Dogg himself made. And yes, he did shoot President Trump, but not with bullets. I will explain. Now this is a lavender, the rap music is, he's calling it the lavender video. And I am outraged about this, and I will happily tell you why. I actually did a vlog about this, which you can find on my Terrorist Therapist Facebook page or my terroristtherapist.com website, now up and running. But since then, there's actually been more news. I had called for Snoop Dogg to be punished, and now it seems like there's perhaps a chance. But I digress. Let me tell you about the video first, just in case you haven't seen it. First of all, let me tell you that this video has gotten almost 6 million views. It's on YouTube. It's 4.5 minutes long, approximately. It's very intricate. He put a lot of thought into it, not good thought. And my concern with the whole thing is how it is going to inspire people to be copycats, especially fans of his. And, you know, when you think about it, it's over 6 million or almost right now, almost 6 million views by the time you're listening to this. I'm sure it's going to be over 6 million views. And who are these people who are viewing it? Some of the people, and it's not necessarily all people in the United States. Could ISIS be viewing it? They have access. Could other enemies of the United States be viewing it? Could, hey, doesn't have to be outside enemies. Half the people in the United States would like to at least metaphorically shoot Trump. But not those people. They're not making videos where they are aiming a gun at him. And that's the difference. Well, let me tell you about the video. First of all, it has to do with all the people being clowns, and you know, he calls President Trump Ronald Klump, a take on Ronald McDonald, and Klump Trump, and he has him at one point being in a press conference at the clown house. I mean, you know, it's of course mocking Trump as a clown, but everyone is a clown in the video. And it starts off with a family, it starts off with a father getting out of bed to the sound of his alarm clock and putting on his slippers and brushing his teeth and going into breakfast. And his wife is cooking breakfast and carrying a baby, and he has a son sitting at the table. And the son, they're watching television, and there's a violent cartoon on television. And his son is playing with a toy gun. And he's also playing with action figures with guns. And he pretends to shoot his father with the toy gun. And the father takes the toy gun and puts it in his attaché case. Now, up until then, you can kind of, you know, since I have been a long time anti-media violence activist, I was thinking, except that I kind of knew that this was what this was generally going to be, but I was thinking, hey, maybe this is a statement against media violence, but no, no. Instead, the father takes the gun, his son's toy gun, puts it in his attaché case, and gets in his car and starts driving to work. And all of a sudden, a cop sitting by the side of the street, eating, sees the father drive past, and he goes after him. And he's talking with the father about whatever infraction the father supposedly did. And the father shows him, opens up the attaché case, and shows him the gun, this fake gun. And the cop gets all freaked out and shoots the father with a gun that spews even though it spews confetti looking papers, you know, the man, the father, is actually dead in his car in the driver's seat. Now, what's kind of interesting about that is that the cop and the father are white clowns. And then there's a man in the street with his iPhone taking a picture of the whole thing. And he's a black clown. So I'll let you decide what that all means. You know, obviously this has to do with brutality of the police and how angry Snoop is about that and so on, which, you know, that's, I don't have a problem with his expressing his feelings about all that. But then it goes to, video starts off with the words Jesse James Sky written in the sky. You know, this whole thing is just violence, violence, violence. I forgot to mention, in the kitchen of this family, on the refrigerator are bills that marked unpaid. So the idea is to make you connect with this family, like how hard life is. It's even harder. You start to go to work and a cop shoots you. You know, it's all to get sympathy for this family. And the music starts. There's music throughout the whole video, rap music. But at that point, the music goes into, it's the final call, it's the final call, and it's this drum beat, it's the final call. And it's leading into a scene a little bit later. Before the Trump scene, or Ronald Klump, there's a scene of Snoop where he is in what looks almost like a throne, and he has his dogs, Dobermans, at his feet, you know, really mean-looking dogs. I'm sorry, Freddie. Well, okay, I don't want to say anything against, I know some really nice Dobermans, but in the whole context of this scene, the idea is very violent and dark, and he's smoking, you know, obviously marijuana, which he is an advocate of. And it's very dark music, and it's the beat is getting louder and darker and harder. And then you see these people in cars, into cars, and they drive to what seems like either a garage or a back alley. It's very dark. It's hard to tell what it is. But there we see Ronald Klump, you know, an obvious President Trump. With his hair, you can't mistake his hair, and his suit, his typical suit, red tie and a blue suit and all of that. And he's standing there kind of looking frightened. And there are these people in this, let's say, back alley, who, like, it's like an army of men, like a gang, actually, is what it is. But there's very, I don't know, to me, it reminded me of ISIS. They're all in black and, you know, wearing all black, and it's hard to tell exactly who they are and what they're doing, but, it's suggesting, it could be suggesting a terror attack. It could be suggesting, you know, perhaps something dark, you know, sort of planning to attack the president. And then Snoop comes in and he takes out a gun. And you see him first in the room where he was sitting on his throne, picking up a gun, a real gun, not a toy gun, but a real gun. And he comes into this scene in the back alley, and he aims the gun at Ronald Klump, and he shoots him. And out of this gun comes a banner that says, bang. Now, you know, obviously this is typical clown fare. This is often in clown acts where they shoot each other with guns and it says bang rather than a real bullet. And, you know, ha ha, clowning around. Well, there's a problem with that. That a lot of people watch, not everyone who watches this is going to become a murderer and go after President Trump. We only need one person to be influenced by this and to get to Trump. And we've had a close call just recently. So after he shoots Trump, there was a part where you see, before he gets shot, obviously, we see Ronald Klump at a press conference, like on the television, at a press conference in the Clown House instead of the White House. And there's a chyron underneath this that says, Ronald Klump wants to deport all dogs. So then, in the meantime, when he's shooting Trump, the music is going again. It's the final call. It's the final call. It's the final call. Ever darker and more insistent. And what this is communicating is to people who are watching this, potentially, not everyone is going to, you know, have a reaction, but what it's saying is that it's the final call. The world is coming to an end because Trump got elected president. That's the message. Now, some people are going to recognize that consciously. Other people, it's going to go into their unconscious mind. Either way, it's very dangerous. So then we have in a following scene, they go back to the garage, well, the back alley, and we see Trump. Now he's apparently he's still alive because it just said bang, right? But now we see him humiliated. First he's shot, now he's humiliated. He's in chains. He's wrapped up in these heavy chains. And there's a Snoop on one side, and then there's somebody else on the other side. And it looks like Trump is trying to get they're smoking marijuana. It looks like Trump is trying to get one, and they won't give it to him. And they're like treating him very, very disrespectfully, just in general. Like one of the other guys slaps him, pushes him. It's just, I guess the shooting is worse, but that's pretty bad too. So why am I all bent out of shape about this? Well, I did feel horrified when I saw it. And I think it's incredibly irresponsible of Snoop Dogg. Over the years, he has amassed fans, and some of his fans might well consider this more seriously than others, perhaps. And the reason why I am particularly upset about this is because I have done a lot of research about the impact of violence in the media. And I have testified before Congress on several occasions regarding the damaging impact of media violence, television, movies, rap songs, everything. And some rap, I want to put a little aside here. I know that there is some rap that is positive, but most rap is violent. And what happens is, I know what you're thinking, violent media doesn't make anybody be violent or doesn't make anybody actually kill other people. Well, I'm not making this up, folks. There have been countless studies that have shown this to be true of all different kinds of media violence. And in all over the world, and going back decades, I mean, for the past decades, up until the present. And it may not cause somebody to cause everybody who watches. It actually has to do with the amount of violence that you consume. The more violent media that you consume, the more aggressive it makes you. Now, of course, other things come into play as well. For example, if you had a childhood where you were abused, you are more likely to be angry and to be more of a fan of violent media, and to follow the plots that the violent media proposes to you, such as Snoop Dogg's video. Now, again, not everyone is going to become a murderer who watches violent media, but I don't have to tell you that there has been an increase in aggression all over the world. And although somebody might not become a murderer from watching violent media, we do know that there has been, somebody might act it out by being more aggressive in trying to get a parking spot, fighting over a parking spot, being a perpetrator of domestic violence, all kinds of other violent acts, short of murder. Just being more argumentative. I mean, even just look at the election. People, this has been, and I'm not making this up, or I didn't study this part, it has been reported, and I'm sure you just know from your own experience, I certainly know from my experience, that people have become just friends and coworkers and so on, have become more aggressive, depending on both sides, both parties, depending upon which side they were on, and this aggression has really stopped. Since after the election. I mean, it was before the election and it's continuing after the election. So when we fuel people by giving them actual plot lines to follow to take out their aggression, dangerous things can happen. Now, I know what you're thinking. Again, no one's going to just watch Snoop's little video. Over 6 million people have watched it. It does go on quite a bit. Let me tell you about, if you're doubting that there is such a thing as copycat crime, I can give you some examples of movies where the copycat crimes have occurred. Now I'm just going to give you a few examples, but there are really, many more examples of this. And the reason why I always like to point out these copycat crimes from movies is because people who claim that, the typical remark is, well, I watched Cowboys and Indians when I was a little kid. I never became a murderer. Well, the kinds of things that are in the media these days are a lot more violent and a lot more intense and with a lot more effects, special effects, than what people used to watch years ago on television, Cowboys and Indians, And so the reason why these movies are great examples of how, in fact, media violence does affect people is because these are cases where people watch the movie and then carried out copycats, and where you could tell that there were certain things in what they did, in the crimes that they committed, that were clearly, distinctively from the movie. And so these are, on the face of it, these are proof. This is proof that these kinds of the movies and other media violence can, in fact, cause people to act out violently. Now, let me give you some examples. Okay. A common one is the movie Scream, where there's the ghost face character who wears a mask. And there have been murders where people have worn the mask of ghost face and have also dressed that way. Then we have an early example, Clockwork Orange. Clockwork Orange, at the time, it was, one of the most, if not the most, violent movie that there had been. And we've had several violent crimes by people who were influenced by it. For example, a gang of young boys beat a homeless man to death. Another example, a girl was gang raped by men singing the song Singing in the Rain, which both of these things came from that movie. There have been murders, kidnappings, and murders related to Child's Play. That's the movie with Chucky. And people would say, as they were committing the murder, I'm Chucky, wanna play? There were people who were obsessed with the Chucky doll and becoming violent. And through this influence. Then one of the movies that has had the most copycat crimes after it was Natural Born Killers. And this included, the copycats included the Columbine High School massacre. But there have been lots of other copycats where a man and a woman, or two men, actually did what the natural-born killers did, which was to go on a killing spree. Now, the Columbine High School, these two young men said that they were influenced by natural-born killers, or they found that in their, it had been reported that they had watched this over and over again. And there were other murders like this where two people went on a killing spree together, shooting up people and either going across the country or across the city or the state, and, you know, doing the same kind of thing. And then most relevant to the video of Snoop Dogg is the movie Taxi Driver. As you may know, Taxi Driver is the movie that inspired John Hinckley Jr. to assassinate President Ronald Reagan. He didn't kill him, he wounded him, but he tried to assassinate him, he tried to kill him. And he did this to win the love of Jodie Foster. Now, this was in 1981. So, I mean, you know, hello, it actually has happened. John Hinckley Jr. was then put in a mental hospital where he stayed for many years. He was recently let go out of the hospital, which I think was a big mistake, because as long as he's on his meds, he had gotten better. But when he's out of the hospital, out of the forensic hospital where he was serving his time, and he's living with his mother, his elderly mother, if he stops taking his medication, who's to say that he wouldn't do this again? Not necessarily try to assassinate a president, although I hope, actually, come to think of it, I hope that John Hinckley Jr. doesn't watch Snoop Dogg's video. Can you imagine that? Anyhow, these things really do happen. Now, what's kind of interesting is that Snoop Dogg has quite a history himself of crime. Let me talk to you a little bit about his story and why he's such an angry guy. He was born in Long Beach, California. His father, his biological father, left when he was 3 months old, and his father, he was a Vietnam vet, a singer, and a mail carrier, but he was said to be frequently absent from Snoop's life. His mother married someone else, a stepfather, who actually Snoop was named after, Cardoza Calvin Broadus Sr., and he became Junior. You can see why he wanted to have a different name. And his parents nicknamed him Snoopy because of the way he looked. Kind of interesting. Then his mother and his stepfather divorced when he was around 4 years old. So what do we have? We have a little boy who lost his biological father at 3 months old, lost his stepfather at about 4 years old. So the men in his life abandoned him. And that makes a little boy very angry. So it's no wonder that he grew up being angry. And he joined gangs. He has been a known gang member. He was a member of the Roland 20 Crips, which is a gang in Long Beach. And he was looking, you know, people who join gangs are oftentimes boys who were abandoned by their fathers, or whose fathers, you know, never were married or involved with their mothers in the first place. And they're looking for a family. And the gang provides them with a sense of family. So after high school, he began getting into a lot of trouble. He was arrested for possession of cocaine, and then he was in and out of prison for the next 3 years. Then he, let me see, he up in, until the last instance of legal trouble, besides this current video, which I'll tell you about, what could be current legal trouble. But after, since the problems he had after graduating from high school, he's had more problems with the law. Now, you know, like, it's not hard. You don't have to be a shrink to figure out that that could explain why he has some anger towards the police, who kept arresting him for possession of drugs. And then he was arrested a number of times for possession of a gun, firearm, traffic violations, and possession of a firearm, which of course is just like the father in the video that we were just talking about, the rap video. But he, more serious than these arrests for drugs and having a firearm, was a time in 1993 when he was arrested in connection with the death of Philip Wolder Merriam, a member of a rival gang who was shot and killed by Snoop's bodyguard, McKinley Lee. So Snoop was charged with murder, along with his bodyguard, because Snoop was driving the vehicle from which the shooting had come. And interestingly, Snoop and Lee were defended by Johnny Cochran. And maybe you even have even heard about this, but they were both acquitted. The bodyguard was acquitted on the grounds of self-defense, but Snoop remained entangled in legal battles for the next 3 years. So then, since then, though, he's continued to have these arrests for drugs and firearms. And in 2005, he and other people were arrested for were sued because someone at a concert was beaten by their entourage when he was mounting the stage, supposedly after an open invite. Then in 2006, Snoop was detained at John Wayne Airport because they found a collapsible police baton in his carry-on bag. And then his lawyer told the deputies the baton was a prop for a musical sketch. He was given probation, you know, all this. A lot of times he was given probation and he had to do community service and so on. Then in October, so that was September 2006. Then in October 2006, he was arrested at Bob Hope Airport in Burbank for a traffic infraction, and he was found to have a firearm, and he was suspicion of transporting an unspecified amount of marijuana. Then he was arrested again. I mean, it keeps going on and on. I'm not going to bore you with all of this. What's interesting also, in April 2006, he and his entourage were arrested after being turned away from British Airways first class lounge at Heathrow Airport in England. And after they were denied entry into the lounge, they vandalized a duty-free shop with whiskey bottles. And seven police officers were injured in the midst of this. And so he was denied entry into the United Kingdom. And then, you know, eventually he was allowed back, but he has been banned by British Airways for the foreseeable future. In April 2007, the Australian Department of Immigration and Citizenship banned him from entering the country based on character and on his prior criminal convictions. This ban was eventually lifted too. And then in 2012, he was banned from entering Norway. After he had entered the country the month before in possession of marijuana and $27,000 in cash. Then the latest arrest that I am aware of, that I've been able to find, is 2015 in Sweden. And he was detained by the Swedish police for using illegal drugs. And then, you know, I mean, like, is it any wonder, first of all, that he has anger towards men in authority, again, going back to his biological father and his stepfather who abandoned him. It is no wonder that he has a lot of anger towards men in authority, like the police and like President Trump. So just, I mean, it's kind of ironic, to say the least, that even though he was never convicted of murder, that Snoop would shoot President Trump in his video. What else do I want to tell you? We're kind of leading I want to mention that so much I want to tell you about. When this video came out, Trump tweeted, "Can you imagine what the outcry would be if Snoop Dogg, failing career and all, had aimed and fired the gun at President Obama? Jail time." Now, you know that that's true. There would have been more consequences. Now, maybe there will be consequences, because when I, as I said at the beginning, when I made my vlog just yesterday, I was talking about how I thought Snoop should be punished in some way, or that there should be an injunction against his video before more people see it. Of course, now already since around 6 million people have already seen it, the horse is out of the barn. But there is such a thing. I know what you're thinking. I know. First Amendment rights. He can say and do a video on whatever he wants. He can shoot somebody as long as it's not a real bullet, and so on. This is art, supposedly. I mean, actually, you know, if it didn't have the video is very intricate, and if the messages weren't so disturbing, you would have to find that it was an artistic video, were it not for encouraging people to shoot President Trump. So there is the First Amendment. However, there are limits to the First Amendment. For example, you can't yell fire in a theater and cause a panic. And there are limits to what's called fighting words. That's anything that incites or is provocative, speech that is inciting or provocative. And there have been court cases looking at individual cases or individual circumstances where the question was, was this speech purposefully meant to incite people to action? Now, the news, the recent developments, of this, I was calling on Snoop to do a PSA against violence, as I was hoping that maybe at least he would do that, okay? But now it seems like there might actually be something more serious that could happen. It has now come out that, including in the Washington Times, that, and I'm going to read this, under Title 18, Section 871 of the United States Code, it is a Class E felony for anyone to, quote, knowingly and willfully, unquote, threaten to, quote, take the life of, to kidnap, or bodily harm upon the President of the United States, unquote. So a lot of people are now saying that he did violate this Section 871. And if this is proven, if, he is arrested for it, and if it's proven, if he's convicted, he could face a fine and or up to 5 years in prison. Now, Snoop has defended the whole thing by saying, nobody's dealing, and this is a quote, nobody's dealing with the real issue with this effing clown as president, unquote. Well, Snoop, gotta tell you, there are lots of ways to deal if you think he's a clown, as you obviously do. There are lots of other ways to deal with this and to try to get your thoughts, your opinions heard that don't entail violence or don't entail shooting the president. So that is, you know, that's a pretty weak argument for saying that's why you had to do this video. Now, again, in case you're wondering, in case you're thinking, nobody's going to watch this video and really make an attempt on the president. Well, there actually just recently, just this month, there was a White House intruder who got very close to the president's residence, after scaling the White House fence. His name is Jonathan Tran. He's 26. He's from California. And by the time the Secret Service caught him, he was already at the entrance to the president's residence. They found two cans of mace in his jacket pocket. He had a backpack that had a letter to Trump. It had a book on Trump, a passport, and a laptop. He told the Secret Service that he had an appointment with President Trump, which obviously wasn't true. He also told them that he has been called schizophrenic. He said that he is being followed and that his phone and email are being monitored. And these are typical symptoms of schizophrenia, although it is possible, and since I haven't examined him, I can't say for sure, but it is possible that he could be, you know, it sounds like either paranoid schizophrenia or perhaps a manic episode, but more like paranoid schizophrenia. His brother has told authorities that Jonathan, the man who scaled the White House fence, was troubled over losing a job recently. He was living in his car and eating junk food. Now, this is exactly the kind of person, well, let me say two things. First of all, the kind of person who would be influenced by Snoop Dogg's video would be someone who is angry, bottom line angry, angry at the world, angry at his lot in life, angry at the bosses who fired him, angry at lots of things. Angry he didn't get his way because he wanted a different candidate to win, but anger. And if the person has mental illness, they are even more vulnerable to being influenced by any kind of media, particularly something telling or egging him on. Again, it's the final call. It's the final call. You know, somebody who is mentally ill, especially, I mean, we're all kind of on edge and we all, you know, there's certainly lots of talk about, you don't have to be mentally ill. There's certainly lots of talk about, this is the apocalypse and we're coming to the end of the world and all of that. You know, that's been going on for a while. So if you have mental illness, you are much more vulnerable to being influenced by those words. It's the final call. It's the final call. You better go out there and do something. Shoot the president. That's what his video is saying. Now, if you haven't seen this video, I want you to, I don't really want to encourage people to go watch the video, except now that you've heard everything that I had to say, I think that you'll agree with me. So, you know, and the other thing is that people who are mentally ill are much more vulnerable also to being influenced by people who have nefarious intentions, like lone wolf terrorists or organized terrorists. So think about that. Now, I also want to mention about Snoop Dogg's, you know, people are saying, like, why is he doing it? And of course, he's saying that he has to do it to draw attention and nobody else is talking about it. And so he's doing a public service, right? Well, you know, Snoop hasn't been doing quite as well as he once was. His first album came out in 1993. It was called Doggy Style and it sold 10 million units and peaked at number one. His next two albums peaked at number one, too, in the United States. And they sold over 7 million and 9 million. And then after that, it's kind of been downhill. But what coincidence. He is planning, he has been doing a new album, and he is planning to have it come out soon. Gee, do you think maybe, besides wanting to save America by telling us what a clown President Trump is and how we should do something about it, like get rid of him. Could it be that he wants more attention on himself now that he's going to be coming out with a new album soon? I'll let you decide. Well, let me go to the terrorist therapist, to the letter section of the terrorist therapist show. And I really want to encourage you to please, please, please send me comments. Tell me I'm full of it. Tell me you disagree. Tell me you agree. Tell me anything. And ask me questions. If you have something that you want to say or you want to ask, please write to me. And now there are lots of ways of doing it, particularly my new website, which is just up. And it's, again, the way to get to it is www.terroristtherapist.com. There's a contact page. You can write me a letter telling me how you love how you love Snoop Dogg and media violence doesn't cause people to become violent, or that you agree. Just ask me anything about terrorism, or, you know, ask me about your children, how you can explain things about to your children, anything that you want. But I really encourage you to write, like Jeremy did, who comes from Phoenix, Arizona. He wrote, "Dear Terrorist Therapist, I'm not surprised that Snoop Dogg would make an outrageous video. I have never allowed my kids to listen to rap music because it's pretty much all violent. Snoop is doing this for publicity, but I hope it lands him in hot water." Well, I'm glad to hear there are parents out there, and I know there are quite a number. We just need to have a little more, but there are quite a number of parents who are recognizing this. Do you know that after Columbine happened, they did surveys asking people what they thought caused the two Columbine students to shoot up the high school? And they had, they made a list of the order of what people thought were responsible for this. And at the time, media violence was very high on the list. And at the time, I thought to myself, my work is done here. Everybody gets it. That, yes, media violence, you know, is not good for children, or for adults for that matter. But apparently, you know, some people in society have short memories, and somehow it's still difficult for a lot of parents to say no. So I'm glad, Jeremy, to hear that you're not letting your kids listen to rap, that you're deciding in general what's good for them to put into their minds, just like I'm sure you did as to what's good for them to put in their stomachs. Now, some rap, as I was saying earlier, is good, but most of it is really violent. A lot of it teaches guys to become gangsters so that girls will be hot for them. And it teaches girls to accept men being violent towards them, accept men who are perpetrators of domestic violence. So we will see what's going to be happening to Snoop Dogg. Now, that is whether, in fact, he will be arrested based on this felony that I was just reading to you. So what does this say for us? Why am I telling you all this? One, so that you can spread it around and be more careful for yourself, in terms of what you watch, what your children watch, and particularly in regard to Snoop, this is great water cooler conversation that there are other ways of expressing your dislike for the politics or the world. But you need, people who are in Snoop's position need to take more responsibility. And people who are watching this video shouldn't applaud it or condone it. And really the bottom line is that the world is crazy enough these days because people are stirred up by terrorism and by the election where, as I was saying, half of America still hates the other half and people are really on edge. There are already people jumping over the White House fence. I'm not saying that Jonathan Tran, the man who was recently caught, was planning to murder the president. I don't really think that. But I think that, as I was saying, that he could be very influenced by such videos and by people who saw the videos and are influenced and try to find somebody to carry out the job. So we don't need Snoop Dogg inciting people to assassinate the president. That's kind of the bottom line. And Snoop, if you're not happy with the president or the way the world is today, then do something positive to change it. Well, I want to thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. And again, check out my website, also my Facebook page, The Terrorist Therapist. Please check it out and like it and follow it.